Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits and the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and we have made it to 2026, and I am just thrilled that we have made it, that we are headed toward Easter after Advent and Christmas, and this week we get to celebrate Epiphany and the coming of the wise men. It is the first Sunday of the month, so it's a communion Sunday. And as I always think about when I put together these podcasts, I hope that you have somewhere to go to be in communion with people in person and live. And you can stand next to your friends and receive the bread and the wine and the blessings that come from being in communion with others together at the table. As we go through this service, I hope that you will find a place where you can feel comfortable and loved, that is filled with heartbeats. So on this celebration of Epiphany Sunday, let us come together in a time of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's Old Testament lesson is from the book of Isaiah. It is from chapter 60. Verses 1 through 6, it is the prophecy of the coming of the wise men. Hear now the word of the Lord. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, and those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us come together today and repeat those familiar words that remind us of the tenets of our faith. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you today just humbled by your glory, by your power, by your creative nature, and by your might. Let us all be inspired by the words and the stories that we hear today. Hear us now as we pray those words that your Son, our Savior, the Christ child, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today's gospel lesson is from the gospel according to Matthew. It is the story of those wise men that we celebrate on this Epiphany Sunday. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Hear now the word of the Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it had been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come the ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time where the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star and they had seen that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God, for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, as we come together today to hear this message, let us all be moved by your breathtaking heavens. Let us rejoice in the beauty of the earth and the glory of the skies. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Several of you have started conversations with me lately with some variation of this idea. I don't want to spoil your sermon about the wise men, but I know what you're going to say. The scripture says there are three gifts, but not three wise men. And that was exactly what I had originally thought of when I was looking at our Advent and Christmas sermons this year. It is more readily thought of than some of the other things we've talked about this season. It would have been an easy layup of a sermon, one that would have been fun to write, but certainly more heartfelt than intellectually challenging. So while the idea that there were more than three wise men makes a great sermon, and one that I will probably do in the future, it is a challenge to look at the story of the wise men from a different angle. I took this Epiphany Sunday to stretch myself, and hopefully you as well. So instead of looking at the reality of the number of men traveling to see the baby Jesus for the monster King Herod, I thought we would look instead at the star. Psalm 147 speaks of God and his relation to the stars. And as with all things, I think it is important to start with scripture. This is what the psalmist says in verses 4 and 5. He determines the number of stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. So our question today is this. What would it have taken for God to move a star that these wise scientists have studied and are familiar with? Could it have been a comet? Sure. But what fun is that to think about? What if God literally moved the heavens to show the wise men the way to Jesus and away from Herod? What does the reality of that mean? Let me start with a caveat, if I may. I am not a scientist. I never took one physics class. Even though my very favorite high school teacher taught the course, I was a chemistry student. I like things that have order and are found by solving equations. The complex and intricate ideas of physics are beyond my brain capacity. So the ideas that I bring to you today have to be truly God-breathed because I'm not smart enough to even begin to fully explain the universe. And while my very favorite teacher, Barbara Henley, loves me dearly, I'm sure she would agree, even if she would never say it out loud. I was recently gifted the most beautiful book, 7 Brief Lessons on Physics by Carlo Rovelli. It is a translated series of 7 articles originally printed in an Italian newspaper. And when I got it, I thought, wow, what a page-turner this will be. Physics from the Italians. Woohoo! But then I started reading it, and it is such a simple yet dense look at the universe, from the smallest particles to the largest of concepts. It took me a full week to read 81 pages of text because there was so much to absorb. When I started putting the sermon together in my mind, it was almost too overwhelming to put into words. God literally moved the heavens to show the way to the Christ child. Not only that, but God created the heavens to begin with so they could be moved. It is mind-blowing to think about. And I kept pondering and wondering, and at some point I realized that is exactly how the wise men must have felt when they saw the star out of place in the sky. They had to be so completely curious and overwhelmed with wonder that they couldn't help but follow it. Most of what we know about space and time has come within the last 2 centuries. There were many theories before, but they have evolved and been proven wrong, and some correct, mostly in the last 200 years. Because of our ability to see beyond the Earth into outer space. The opening paragraph of 7 Brief Lessons sums up what I've been thinking since I read it. I think it also sums up this entire Advent series that we have studied this season. It says, "These lessons were written for those who know little or nothing about modern science. Together, they proved a rapid overview of the most fascinating aspects of the great revolution that has occurred in physics in the 20th and 21st centuries. And of these questions and mysteries that this revolution has opened up. Because science shows us how to better understand the world. But it also reveals to us just how vast is the extent of what is still not known." I love that idea, that these ideas of the reality of what the birth story of Jesus meant have provoked so many questions. I love that it's made me think of these characters in the biblical text as real people for a change. The humanness of these stories has only increased the awe of God's power and might that had to be at work for all of this to happen, including the journey of the wise men. One of the most beautiful ideas in the book is that space is not stationary or flat. Some of Albert Einstein's work shows that. It says this, "Space moves like the surface of the sea. It is a colorful and amazing world where universes explode. Space collapses into bottomless holes. Time sags and slows near a planet. And the unbound extensions of interstellar space ripple and sway like the surface of the sea." Rovelli believes that Einstein proves that this was not just a theory, but reality. He says, "It is a reality that seems to be made of the same stuff that our dreams are made of, but that is nevertheless more real than our clouded, quotidian dreaming." For those of you who are like me, I had to look that word up. quotidian means ordinary. What a beautiful idea. Not only did God create and name each and every star, he created them in a complex and beautiful dreamlike wave that moves and ebbs and flows and has life and color beyond anything we can dream of or see with our eyes. It is so complex that even after thousands and thousands of years of humanity, we still do not fully understand the complex reality of the heavens. That movement and change and bending of light and stars is just one possibility of how God put a bright and moving beacon in just the right spot for the wise men to follow. The dreamlike way that the heavens are knitted together may be how God spoke to Joseph in his dreams and how God chose to warn these wise men to help save the life of this helpless human newborn and his parents so he could fully grow into the Savior that we all need. Remember, the psalmist says, "Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure." Beyond measure, indeed. It is such a humbling and beautiful thought. The unknown of God is the thing that shows his vastness and power and also forces us to faith. Our belief in God has to be based in the faith that we can never fully know all there is to know about the natural world. We can never fully know all there is to understand about God. We can never fully understand what it was like for the Holy Family in those first years of Jesus' life. We can never fully know what it was like for the shepherds to see the multitude of hosts in the heavens. And we will never fully know exactly how God moved a star in the vast cosmos to guide the wise men to the Christ child. And that is where our faith shines the brightest. This thought-provoking book ends this way. There are frontiers where we are learning, and our desire for knowledge burns. They are in the most minute reaches of the fabric of space, at the origins of the cosmos, and the nature of time, and the phenomenon of black holes, and in the workings of our own thought processes. Here on the edge of what we know, in the contact with the ocean of the unknown, shines the mystery and the beauty of the world, and it is breathtaking. The natural world is breathtaking. The universe is breathtaking. All of humanity is breathtaking. And the God that created it and moves it and loves it is the most breathtaking of all. Amen. As we go throughout our week, let us be humbled by the thought that God moves the heavens for us. God shines brightly as a beacon for each and every one of us in just the way we need it the most. Because in life, in death, and life beyond death, God is with us. We are never, ever alone. There's always a star to guide us. Thanks be to God. Amen.